Psalm chapter 25 and verse 1 says this, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." Look at verse 4. "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." We're going to focus on verse number 4 in Psalm 25. If you don't have a Bible, I'll read it again, but if you do, follow along with me. So look at verse 4 one more time. It says this, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." And then the first part of verse 5 says, "Lead me in thy truth." The title of the message tonight is "Our Greatest Desire." How many know what the word desire means? Can someone raise your hand and tell me what the word desire means? Jayla, what does the word desire mean? Like, that's my desire. What is it? Yeah, something that you really want. That's my desire. Hey, when I was a teenager, it was my desire that Marissa would be interested in me, that she would pay attention to me. And thank God she did. Because listen, hey, listen, how can you deny this? Jayla just denied it. That was my desire. Listen, that was serious. That was my desire as a teenager. Now, listen, my desire should have been to have a good relationship with the Lord, but I wasn't very right with God as a teenager, so my desires were worldly desires. But our desire, our greatest desire, teenager, listen, our greatest desire should be verse 4 and verse 5. Look, listen. That's our great, should be, "Lord, show me thy ways, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth." Donald Jr., my son, Bubba, we call him Bubba, he's going to be 5 this summer. I can't believe he's going to be 5 years old. And he has grown up so much over the past year in communication, talking more. Even today, I came in from work, and we were babysitting some other kid, Marissa was, and they were sitting on the couch watching a movie. And I was talking to the other kids, and Donald just kind of turned around from the couch and looked at me. And I kind of just kind of like gave him a little grin and kind of winked at him. And usually, you know, he didn't really get that. But it's almost like he understood that I was kind of just like, without saying anything, I was saying, "Hey, I love you, buddy." And I said, kind of winked at him. And he did this. He went. But it was so sweet. And I said, "Love you, buddy." He said, "Love you, Dad." And he's growing. He's just getting bigger. And for me as a father, I mean, I can remember when he started rolling over, when he started pulling himself up to walk, talking, giving hugs. And he's getting so big. And Seth doesn't want to do anything at all. But I remember even he's growing. Sethy, today, I brought him over to the office to help me. I brought him over to the office to help Miss Marissa. But Mrs. Boston was in the office, and she said, "Hey, Sethy, how's it going?" And Sethy said, "Good." I was like, "Whoa, what's going on?" He never does that. But he's growing. And listen. I'm so proud of my kids. Listen, I'm so proud of them as they grow and they grow. And many things that they do, it's just instinct. It's instinct for a little Charlie to want to pull himself around the ground. We didn't teach him how to do that. He said, "Man, I want to get over there, so I'm going to figure out how to do it." It's instinct. Sethy sees something edible, it's his instinct to want to grab it and bite on it. That's instinct. But many things, we showed them how to do. We taught them how to do it. Donald saw us do things, and he followed. That's why, as parents, you have to be careful how you talk. You know, if I say, "Man, that's really stupid," and then Donald will say, "That's really stupid," I'm like, don't say that word. You know, they follow. They follow what we do. I'm teaching my son by the way I live, by the way I act. He sees us, and he follows. And I said the title tonight of the message is, "Our Greatest Desire, Show Me, Teach Me, and Lead Me." That should be our greatest desire. Maybe your greatest desire is to get a good job or to have lots of money or whatever. But our greatest desire, listen, focus, please. Our greatest desire should be that the Lord shows us his ways and teaches us his paths and leads us in his truth. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having a good job, but it shouldn't be your greatest desire. Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a great family or to be a good parent or to have a great marriage. Listen, I want those things, but it shouldn't be my greatest desire. You know what? Even wanting to win people to Christ and have a big ministry and have have a huge teen group, those are great things that I should desire to do, but they shouldn't be my greatest desire. My greatest desire should be show me, teach me, lead me. Lord, show me, teach me, and lead me. So let's look at each request that David gave to the Lord. We'll look at the first part of verse 4. Look at verse 4 again. Number one is this. What should your greatest desire be? Number one, in verse 4, he says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy ways, O Lord. As a Christian teenager, your greatest desire should be, Lord, show me your ways. Show me the right way to live my life. Show me the right things to do. Show me, Lord, the way that you would handle the situation. Listen, if we handled every situation that we came into like the Lord would, we'd be pretty well off. We'd be doing pretty good. But we don't do that. We do it our way instead of God's way. Lord, show me your way. Show me the way that I'm supposed to live. My dad, growing up, he taught me how to mow the lawn. He taught me how to throw a baseball right. He tried to teach me how to play golf, and it's really hard. But he showed me. He didn't just say, just do it and figure it out. No, he showed me how to do it. It should be our desire and our wish to say, Lord, show me thy ways. And thankfully, God did give us a way to show us how to live, to show us how to act. And it's found right here in this book, in the Bible. Many of you have a Bible. You own a Bible. This is not just a book that you bring to church and listen to Pastor Donald talk about it. This should be the guidebook to your life. This book, the Bible, authored by God. Listen, God wrote the Bible. He's got every answer to every question you could ever have right here in the Bible. He tells you how to live. And not only does he tell us how to live, but he shows us. He shows us. Listen. He shows us in his word that he didn't just tell us what to do, but he shows us that we can do it. The Bible tells us many times, be of good courage. You know, beast man, stand strong and be of good courage. But he doesn't just tell us to do that. He shows us David, the story of David and Goliath. He shows us courage. He shows us in 1 Samuel how David went against Goliath the giant and he took his sling and he killed Goliath and God gave him the power. God doesn't just tell us to have courage, but he shows us that we can have courage through other people in the Bible. He doesn't just tell us, fear not, don't be afraid. But it shows us Daniel, when the kingdom said you can't pray anymore, no more praying to anybody but the king, Daniel still prayed to the Lord 3 times a day with the windows open in his house so everybody could hear. And Daniel was arrested and thrown into a pit of lions, hungry lions. But God protected him. He didn't just say fear not. He shows us, hey, listen, Daniel went through hard times. But he trusted God. The Bible doesn't just tell us Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that all things work together for good. Listen, there's a situation in your life, and you say, man, how could all this work together for good? How could all the bad things in my life turn into something good? It's impossible. It's impossible. Let me pause here for a minute. Because I know each one of you, whether you ride our bus or you come with your parents, I don't care. I know that all of you have faced difficult times. You've had some things happen in your life that are hard, that you don't like, that are hard to live with. And you say, how could those things be good? I know the Bible says that it all works together for good, but I don't know if I believe that. He doesn't just tell us that it works together for good and that he's above all. He shows us the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph had 11 brothers. You know what they did? They hated him, and they took him, and they threw him in a pit to die. But then instead of leaving him to die, they sold him as a slave to Egyptians, and then Joseph went to Egypt as a slave. He was accused of something that he didn't do, thrown in prison for several years. And you know what he did? He trusted God. And at the end of his life, God promoted him and God helped him and God worked it out for good. And his brothers came back and said, we're so sorry. We shouldn't have done this. And Joseph said, listen, you wanted to do evil against me, but God meant it for good. Joseph can say that. And that means we can say it. We can say it. He didn't just tell us. He shows us. It should be our desire that the Lord shows us his ways. Moses said, show me your glory. He said that to the Lord, show me your glory. Listen, we need to get back. We need to get started even as teenagers begging God to show us his ways. I hope that all of you say, you know what? I want to do what God wants me to do with my life. If you don't think that way, then man, I need to preach on something else then. But if I think for the most part, teenagers in the room say, you know what? Whatever God wants me to do with my life, I want to do that. I want to know what it is so I can do it. I hope you would think that, because anything that you can think of, it doesn't even come close to what God has for you. God's got big plans for you, good plans for you, great plans for you. It should be our desire to say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Show me your ways. Listen, as a youth pastor, I want the Lord to show me how to help you guys. And I got to ask him, Lord, show me how to be a help to these teenagers. As a teenager, you say, Lord, show me how to be a witness to my parents. Lord, show me how to be a witness at my school. Lord, show me how to get through these hard times. Lord, show me how to live for you in the situation that I'm in. I know it's hard to live for God when you're surrounded by wickedness. I believe that. But God has a way. And you say, Lord, show me how to do it. Lord, I need your help. Show me thy ways. Listen, God, Jesus in the New Testament showed his power and glory through miracles. He fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus did that. He showed people how awesome he was and how powerful he was and that he was the Son of God. And listen, he wants to do the same thing in your life. He wants to give you miracles in your life. You know, for some of you, to live for the Lord and serve God with your life would be a miracle. Because of the situations that you're in, because of the life that you're surrounded with. For you to succeed and live for the Lord would be a miracle. But God is in the business of doing miracles. And God wants to do a miracle in your life. Say, Lord, show me your ways. Lord, show me your ways. That should be our greatest desire. Lord, show me your way. Number two, look at the end of verse 4. Psalm 25, verse 4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. And the second part says, teach me thy paths. Teach me thy paths. How can God teach us? Like I said, just like showing, teaching from his word. He can teach. And listen, he wants to teach, but we got to be willing to learn. That's why you could sit through school all day long and your teacher can teach and teach and teach, but you get home and you don't remember anything because you weren't really listening. A teacher, I can preach and preach until I'm blue in the face, until I'm all out of breath, but unless you're listening and learning, it doesn't really matter. You have to be willing to say, you know what? I want to read the Word of God. I want to hear the Word of God preached, and I want to listen. There's a difference between hearing and listening. I can tell Seth, come here. Now, Seth is not deaf. He can hear. He can definitely hear. But sometimes I'll say, Seth, come here. And he'll say, Seth, come here. And then I have to go over and say, Seth, I said, come here right now. He's hearing me, but he's not listening. And listen, for you guys as teenagers, listen, you can hear that. You've heard the Word of God preached every week. Some of you have been coming to church your whole life. You've heard the Word of God preached your whole life. But you never really listened. You never really learned. You never really taken what you're hearing and say, you know what? I want to apply that in my life. Teach me thy way. Teach me thy paths, O Lord. How does God teach us? I said he uses his word. He uses his word to teach us. You can read the Bible and learn something every day. You read the book of Proverbs, and it's full of lessons. It's full of things that you can learn. Listen, Pastor Donald, I try to preach in a way that you can understand it so that you can learn as well. He teaches us through his word. He teaches us through God's man, through his man, our pastor. You can learn from listening to our pastor. Hey, listen, God has placed me here as the youth pastor to try to teach you. And you can learn from listening in Sunday school, from listening in Wednesday night youth group. You can learn. God also uses things to teach us. He uses trials to teach us. How many say, I don't know what is a trial? Anyone not know what a trial is? How many know what, you say, I know what a trial is. You raise your hand up. What's a trial, Jamila? It's all right. A trial, guys, listen. A trial is what we were talking about earlier, is a difficult situation in life, a hard time, a hardship. For some of you, maybe your parents getting divorced was a trial. For some of you, maybe being abused, that's a trial. For some of you, maybe feeling lonely or being bullied, that is a trial. For you, maybe not having a whole lot of knowledge and not being very smart, That's a trial for you. You have a hard time learning. I don't know how we could go. Maybe your situation, you have trials. God uses the trials in your life to teach us. But like I said, only if we're willing to learn. God can place a trial in your life, and you can do one of two things. You can say, I hate this. This is so stupid. I'm so mad at God. I'm angry. Why is this happening to me? Or you can say, okay, this happened in my life. Now, what's God trying to teach me? Is he trying to teach me patience? Is he trying to teach me love? Is he trying to teach me, let's say you get bullied. Say, this is really horrible. And if that happens to you, I'm really sorry. That's stupid. I read a story today of a young man who was bullied, and he committed suicide, shot himself. And the person that was bullying him literally said, because he was a hunter, said, why don't you take one of your precious guns and do the world a favor and kill yourself? It's what this bully said in the text message. And the kid said, you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to go home and kill myself. And the kid said, put up or shut up. Now, that's pretty serious bullying. And you know what the kid did? He went home and shot himself, and he killed himself because of that bully. And if, can I say this as a side note? If that's you and you're a bully and you pick on other people for fun, don't let me see it because it'll tick me right off. And you could be the reason someone ends their life or ruins their life because of your smart mouth or your bad attitude or you're trying to make yourself feel better. Please don't be that person, especially in this youth group, but even at school. Don't be a bully. And maybe you're the one that gets bullied. I'm sorry for that. But maybe in your life you get bullied. God's trying to teach you to have patience. And that's hard. Listen, I got bullied a little bit as a teenager. Probably not as bad as some people, but I did. And it was frustrating. And I didn't let it teach me. Maybe God's trying to teach you what his word says. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Listen, the Bible says if you love the word of God, and you love God, and you trust God, that nothing's going to offend you. Listen, God uses trials to teach. God uses experience to teach. We make mistakes. We're supposed to learn from those mistakes. We say something stupid and get in trouble. We're supposed to not do that again. We're supposed to learn from our experiences. God wants to teach you. May it be our greatest desire to learn from the greatest teacher, and that's the Lord. Wants to teach you, teenager. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed or watch out, lest he fall. The more you think you know, the harder you're going to fall. The Bible says in Proverbs that knowledge puffeth up. That if you think you know everything, man, you probably don't know a whole lot. Man, always be willing to learn. Always have a teachable spirit. Don't think, well, I already heard this kind of message before, so I'm all set, or I don't really need to learn that. No, be teachable. David, who wrote the book of Psalms, most of it, who killed Goliath, he said, Lord, teach me. Teach me. He was teachable. Sometimes it's not that we don't understand what's being taught. It's just we don't want it. I can easily explain to you why it's wrong to be disrespectful to your parents. And you may understand it completely, but you just don't feel like doing it. You'll never learn. The Lord can never teach you unless you're willing to learn. You've got to be willing to listen and take what God's word says and do it in your life. That is learning. Taking what's being taught and applying it in your life. So when I come next Wednesday and preach on why it's wrong to listen to certain kind of music and I explain it to you, either you're going to say, well, I understand that and I think he's right because he says the Bible says it, so I'm not going to do it. Or you're going to say, well, I understand that, but I'm not going to listen to it. You've got to be willing to learn. Number one was show me. Number two was teach me. And number three, look at verse 5, Psalm 25, verse 5, says, lead me in thy truth. Lead me in thy truth. Number one, show me. Number two, teach me. Number three, Lord, please lead me. As individuals, as teenagers, we should want the Lord to lead us. As a youth group, we should want to have the Lord's leading in our youth group. To beg God to lead us. Listen, only, this is a quote, only as we go God's way can we know God's will. Only as we go God's way can we know God's will. Somebody say, you know, Pastor John, I want God's will for my life. I want to do what God wants me to do. Well, if you're not living for the Lord and you're not doing the basic things that God wants us to do, then you're not going to find out his will for you. You go God's way, which is the Bible way, and he'll show you his will for your life. Only as we go God's way can we know God's will. I hope that it would be your greatest desire as a teenager. Say, Lord, lead me to whatever you want me to do. If you want me to be a preacher, if you want me to be a missionary, if you want me to be a teacher, if you want me to be a lawyer, whatever, Lord, lead me to whatever you want me to do. Lord, lead me to whoever you want me to be with. I've said it before, I'll say it again. God has a specific person for you that he's created just for you. He has. That's the bottom line. I believe with all my heart that God created Miss Marissa for me. She's exactly who I need as a person. God brought us together. God has a person for you. That's why I'm really not really for dating all the time as teenagers. Because you're giving your heart to all the different people when God already has someone for you. You should wait. Say, Lord, lead me to whoever you have me. Lord, lead me to wherever you want me to go. If God wants me to be a missionary in Africa, then I'll go. If God wants me to move to Washington State and be a preacher, then I'll do it. So, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Lord, lead me. Lord, I want to be led by you. Following anyone else but God will lead you to failure spiritually. That's the truth. Following anybody else but the Lord will lead you to spiritual failure, and sometimes even failure just in any part of life. You may make a whole lot of money out of God's will and get a really good job not following God's will, but you're not going to have true joy. You're not going to have true happiness. Only following God and following God's leading will bring you true joy. I know my dad hates this, but let's say you're taking a trip somewhere and there's a couple different cars. Say, all right, just follow me. Well, if you're not paying attention and you're supposed to be following and you lose track, you're going to get lost. You're supposed to be following that car in front of you. My dad doesn't like it because he thinks it's dangerous. And I kind of agree with him because you're so focused on following, they're switching lanes and you're going to crash somewhere, who knows. But really, when you're following somebody, you got to stay focused so you don't miss your exit off the highway or you don't miss a turn because you're not paying attention. God is not that hard to follow. That's the bottom line. I know the Bible says straight is the way and narrow is the way which leads to life everlasting. And the easy way is obviously, you know, it's wide, easy to go on. But listen, the Bible tells you how to follow God. Especially as a teenager, it's really not that hard. Just do right. Just be holy. Just live your life for the Lord and do what he wants you to do. And do the things that his word says to do. Like read his word and pray and treat others with respect and be faithful to church and honor your parents. Listen, those are things that all of you can do. And as a teenager, that's what God wants you to do right now. I don't care if your parents, you think they don't deserve your respect. Give it to them anyway because the Bible says to. When you say, you know what, my mom or my dad, this, they don't deserve my respect. They're this, they're mean, they're this, they're jerks, they're stupid, whatever. I don't really, you're disobeying God's word. You're literally saying, God, I don't care what your book says. I'm going to do what I want. You're not going to be following God doing that. You're not going to find out what his will is for your life. You're headed the wrong direction. You got to take your eyes off of your desires and off of what you want to do and make your greatest desire to follow God, to be a disciple of Christ, to do what he wants you to do. Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. And they were out in the ship and the storms came with all the disciples and there was lightning and thunder and the ship was probably rocking, there were probably waves and everybody's freaking out and it's scary and it's bad and Jesus was walking on the water and he's there on the water and Peter looks out and they don't know if it's a ghost or what, but then they realize it's Jesus, and Jesus says, Peter, come out in the water. Can you just imagine? You know, the waves are rocking and it's the rain's coming down, thunder, lightning, and it's crazy and it's scary. And Jesus is the Son of God and he's performing the miracle. He's walking on water. It's just awesome. And he says, come on out. Man, I probably want to stay in the boat because it's a little scary to go out onto those crazy waters. But Peter decided to go. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he's standing on water. It's a miracle that only Jesus can do. And Peter is walking towards Jesus, and Peter suddenly looks away from the Lord and looks at the waves and looks at the lightning and hears the thunder and focuses and starts to get scared. And then he starts to sink. And Jesus reached down and picked him up and said, you should have been focused on me. teenager, don't take your focus off of the Lord. And if your focus isn't on God, then tonight you should focus on God. So you know what? I have not been focused on the things of the Lord like I should. I've been doing my own thing. I've been living my own way. And I need to focus on God and what He wants me to do. And then keep that focus. And when you start to stray a little bit, man, get back on track. Your greatest desire as a teenager, as a Christian, should be show me thy ways, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth. Show me, teach me, lead me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Teenager, simple thought tonight. I don't know if it helped anybody. Teenager, all of us have room to grow. Every one of us have room to grow. Pastor Donald has room to grow as a Christian. I need to be closer to God. I need to follow God better. But some of us in the room tonight, we're not following God at all. We refuse to take the Bible and to take God seriously. We come to church, we have fun, we sing the songs, but we're not taking God seriously. We're not following His word. How many say, Pastor Donald, I know my focus isn't where it should be on the Lord, and I'm not really taking God seriously like I should. Would you raise your hand up? I haven't really been asking God to show me His ways. I haven't been following Him. I haven't been letting Him lead me. Raise your hand up so I can see it. Teenager, listen, it's so easy to raise your hand and say, yeah, I struggle with that. It's a little bit harder to decide, not just come to an altar. It's not about coming to the altar, but really in your heart decide, you know what, I'm going to start making some serious changes. I'm going to start living right. I'm going to start living for the Lord like I should. I'm going to start realizing that God is watching me, and He's watching the way I act, and He's listening to things I say, and I'm going to start being holy and living like the Lord wants me to live. That's a little bit harder to do. But here's the truth, teenager. It's not impossible. You can do it. I don't care what home you come from. I don't know who surrounds you. I don't know. I don't care what school you're going to. Listen, teenager, you can live for God. You can do right. You can honor your parents. You can listen to the right kind of music. You can treat others with respect. You can live for the Lord. But you've got to really want it. And you've got to get serious about it. The piano is going to begin to play. If the Lord's worked in your heart tonight, maybe you raise your hand and say, you know what? I need to live for God seriously. I want to ask you right now from where you're at to come to this altar and talk to God and say, Lord, I need to get serious about living for You. Lord, I need to get serious about You leading me and following Your word and following Your way and following Your will. Lord, help me to get serious about the things of You. Teenager, want to ask God tonight, Lord, show me Your ways. Lord, teach me Your path. Lord, lead me. Lord, I want to be led by You. God, I want to follow You. Right now, talk to God and be serious, teenager. God's really listening. God really wants to hear you. So talk to Him. Don't just come up to an altar and kneel down and close your eyes and not say anything. No, you can talk to God. Ask Him for help. Say, Lord, I want to know Your way. Show me, Lord. Lord, teach me, Lord. I want to learn. Help me to learn from the hard times in my life. Help me to learn. Teach me, Lord. I've been through some hard times. And God, I know You want to teach me something. I just don't know what it is. Lord, please show me. And Lord, please lead me. The altar's still open. Anybody can come. If you haven't come yet, and God's working in your heart, I ask you, even right now, come down to this altar and do business with God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.